vision.
Creation.
The next idea.
You need to tell a story.
Do away with partisan redistricting. That's what two Democratic lawmakers in Michigan are proposing. As part of our series, The Next Idea, State Representative John Hoadley is here. Hello.
Howdy.
And Bob LeBrant is also here, formerly with the Michigan Chamber of Commerce, and he is wary of a plan to change how the state draws congressional district lines. Welcome, Bob.
Hello.
So, Representative Hoadley, let's begin with you. This plan gaining traction after the U.S. Supreme Court earlier this summer okayed Arizona's use of an independent commission to draw district lines. Now that is what you're pushing for here in Michigan.
Absolutely. My colleague, Representative Moss, and myself, along with a significant number of other colleagues, have reintroduced a plan from the 97th legislature that would make sure that people, our citizens, are the ones drawing the lines, not politicians picking which voters they want in their districts. The concept's really simple. It's a 14-person commission. It has Democrats, Republicans, and independently affiliated folks. They come together. There needs to be a consensus with at least three folks from each group agreeing that to the way that they draw the lines in their maps. And then ultimately, we're going to hold those maps accountable by making sure that the people can have a referendum on it if they don't like it. At the end of the day, it puts people back in charge.
And Bob, you've got some concerns about this plan.
Well, we've had some experience with independent redistricting commissions, particularly in three states, Arizona, Colorado, and California have independent redistricting commissions. And all three of those particular proposals are based upon this concept of communities of interest. That's a term of art that's undefined. And I'm concerned that communities of interest is kind of in the eye of the beholder.
This is something that you jump into in the essay that you've written for The Next Idea, Bob. Representative, what do you say to this idea about communities of interest and issues that other states have seen?
Well, the first thing I want to take a step back and say, if Bob's willing to work with us on the concept that an independent redistricting commission is a good idea, but wants to have a conversation on the criteria to which they'll use, I would be happy to have that conversation. The thing I want to make sure we're doing here is not using some sort of false line of attack on an idea to sort of tank it without then having any genuine support for the idea at all. We wanted to use this as a way to start a conversation on the need for independent redistricting. And if we want to then talk about communities of interest as a particular standard, you know, let's have that conversation. I think a great way to do that would be in a committee meeting hearing. And unfortunately, the chair, Representative Lyons, hasn't agreed to do that yet. So I'm hopeful that with the interest on this show and maybe with Bob's support or others, that we could actually, bring that up to a hearing and continue to debate the ideas.
Well, perhaps with my critique of some of the provisions in this House joint resolution, maybe the chairman will be persuaded to hold a hearing to take a look at some of the issues that I think at least have jumped out at me. Let me just start with one, if you don't mind, and then we can kind of have this conversation.
Please.
The first, I think, is this language talks about districts must be of equal population to the extent practicable. As an old election lawyer, I read that to mean zero population deviation. And this has some practical issues. Kalamazoo County is like 250,659 people. If you look at zero population deviation for 38 state Senate districts divided by the population of Michigan, it's 260,095 people, which would mean that the current 20th Senate district, all of Kalamazoo County, would have to gain 9,436 people to be as equal in population as practicable, and that means a county break. You'd have to go draw some population out of one of the surrounding counties to Kalamazoo.
So I think that's a great a great critique of why we've put this forward, right? Ultimately, I think that if we want to have a conversation about to what level of population deviation would be acceptable, I think that's important, and frankly, I think a hearing would be a great place to do that. The reality is, at the end of the day, that choices are going to be made about where we would draw that extra population from or what level of variance are we going to allow. And the problem is that the current system allows the people who will benefit from those decisions to ultimately be the ones to make those decisions. The proposal that we've put forward, and I actually do find that Bob's critique actually very helpful. So we would want to make sure that we're tweaking those numbers. But it adds some other criteria too. We have to make sure that we're looking to not privilege incumbency status when we're drawing the lines, which seems simple. But it would then make sure that we're looking at the map as a blank map, not with a set of dots of people whose districts we need to protect in the next election. It also makes sure we're following some of the other standards laid out in Bob's essay, things like making sure they're compact and geographically relevant, they're tight. So we're doing all these sort of and contiguous. And so we're doing all the work that's hopefully going to produce a map that really makes sure that the representatives are representative of the people they're supposed to serve.
Yeah, and I think this question for both of you, there's a pretty classic book on redistricting called Congressional Redistricting, where the authors David Butler and Bruce Kane give sort of six goals when redistricting is happening. And they include party fairness, equal population, compactness. And then they argue that it's actually really difficult to get all of these goals in one, that no matter what, even if you do have an independent commission, there are going to be losers and there are going to be winners. Is that something that you're willing, that both of you are willing to admit, that whether we keep the status quo or whether there is some kind of independent commission, that you're never going to get to an equal kind of perfect?
I'm willing to say that right away. There's a human element involved in any time you're going to make choices and draw a map. So there's nothing that's going to be perfect. But you have to compare it to the system we have right now. And the question you're asking is what we have now working? And you compare that historically. And, even in the 1963 Michigan Constitution, it was calling for this idea of an independent commission. So this is an idea that's been
Unfortunately, the 1963 Constitution didn't call for an independent commission. It called for a partisan commission. And these eight partisan people could never agree. And as a result, it always went to the state Supreme Court, which was put into the very partisan position of picking over one partisan plan over another. Now, I think we can both agree that that was a horrible situation. And when the state Supreme Court in 1982 declared the Commission on Legislative Apportionment unconstitutional and invalid, they had a difficult situation. And so they appointed a special master to draw these district lines. The retired director of elections, Bernie Appel, was chosen to be the special master, and they put together about six or seven guidelines that have become known over the last 30-some years
as the APOL standards. Of course.
And the APOL criteria over the years has proven to be kind of an anti-gerrymandering protection.
Oh, I don't think that's true.
Well,
no, when you talk about the standards... Well, I understand, but when you talk about the standards, it's setting the framework when which decisions are still being made, right? The example that I use is saying, if you have 400 square feet of tile, is it you could make a 10 by 40 configuration or a 20 by 20? And so the APOL standards do that. They set the framework, but they still give you a lot of latitude to make choices. You know, when you look at the results then of those choices, it begs the question, are we doing so in a way that is most representative of the communities it's supposed to serve?
Well, and I want to jump into actually just some of the down and dirty numbers. And Bob, kind of looking towards you, I mean, whether or not you're following APOL standards, whether or not these districts are compact and contiguous, I mean, you can fundamentally look at the numbers and look that in 2014, the last election here in Michigan, let's see, Democrats voted for Congress 49%. Republicans got 47% of the vote. And yet, because of our districts, that produced 9 Republicans and only 5 Democrats going to D.C., even though Democrats got the popular vote.
One thing that I think most political scientists would agree is that geography in large measure determines perhaps some of these vote disparities. You go to the city of Detroit, if the legislative vote in the city of Detroit is not 85% or better for Democrats, that's going to have a certain skewing of a statewide total. And unfortunately, electoral systems do have consequences, and one of the electoral consequences is that there are wasted votes.
When you look at a 63-47 split, it starts saying, you know, is this a random set of circumstances, or is there some decisions that were made? And the same thing with at the congressional level. When you see that there's not a single congressional district where a Democrat did not win with at least 60% of the vote, you know, and then you can overlay that with maps that beg the question, why are we wrapping around? Why do we cut through? Why does the 11th congressional district look like a spiral, you know, as opposed to maybe a more compact set of maps?
So, Bob, reading your essay, I guess, you know, Representative Hoadley, you've got an idea for an independent commission introducing this legislation with a fellow Democrat. Bob, is your idea then to kind of keep the status quo in Michigan, continue to have it be a partisan redistricting?
Well, I think that there are some other models around the nation that, frankly need to be looked at and examined. You know, the one state that seems to have avoided the partisan confrontations is Iowa. Iowa still has the legislature deal with this issue, but they delegate the drawing of the maps to their Legislative Service Bureau based upon some very, very strict criteria that's not that dissimilar to the APOL standard.
So, Bob, would you be willing to join me then in saying that we should actually have a hearing on this in the Elections Committee?
And I don't have any problem with having hearings.
And I think that would be great then.
And let's put out there, as you said earlier, as you mentioned, but just to get a little bit more specific, State Representative Lisa Lyons, Republican, she is the chair of the House Elections and Ethics Committee, and she's recently said that she doesn't plan to hold a hearing on this legislation.
You know, I think this is just one of those examples where I had hoped that she'd be open to the conversation, because I also, the Representative Moss and myself were really clear.
Well, let's
this.
Be candid about this. First of all, to change the Michigan Constitution can be done one of two ways. One is through the legislature itself getting a two-thirds vote in both the House and the Senate. I think it's unlikely that that an independent redistricting commission is going to emerge out of the legislative process. Why is that?
Yeah, I'm curious. Why do you think that's the case?
Well, because I think that some of the interest groups in this state are basically drafting a constitutional amendment of their own, and I think until they show their cards, I think everybody's going to wait to see what their particular plan looks like.
But that seems odd. Like, shouldn't we? I mean, from a legislative perspective, couldn't we be advancing this conversation? I mean, that's what we were elected to do. This is a relevant issue. And so why would we not want to put forward a couple of options here? And if it fails through the legislative process, then obviously it could still go to the voters because that's our system. But you said it wasn't going to go through the legislative process. And I'm just curious why you think that would be the case.
I just think if you take a look at all of the House joint resolutions and Senate joint resolutions that get introduced every legislative session, there is, you know, less than a handful of those joint resolutions that actually end up getting a two-thirds vote and getting placed on the ballot.
Part of that, though, is I agree with you. And so part of it is, you know, when a lot of folks are talking about this, they think it's a symptom of a broken process that, you know, and this is, and whether you're talking about partisan redistricting or term limits or campaign finance, whatever the case is, right, people are starting to get this sense that the process that's laid out doesn't work like the way it's supposed to. And I would hate to see that even on something like nonpartisan redistricting, which is open to a conversation on the right way to do it, the criteria that you suggested might be really important to add to this, that the system is so broken, we can't even have a hearing or move a process that would then move this idea back to the voters.
Bob?
Well, I'm just trying to just bring us back to reality, and it seems to me that
let's talk about some political reality here. I mean, Representative, what you're talking about this that maybe this is what voters would want or could want, but let's be really real here. Republicans control the state house; they control the state senate. Of course, there is a Republican governor who signed these maps into law. Why would Republicans want to do this when right now they're in the majority?
So then I would ask you then to read between the lines, right? Throughout this interview, we haven't had an ability to say, yes, I support the idea of an independent redistricting commission from all sides of the debate, and then we could have a debate on the criteria. The result then is that the current standards and the system in place are, we know, replicate a continued Republican majority, right? And so this then begs the question that is the current system being responsive to the people? And that's why I, you know, when we say, when we talk, we can use it and say, let's talk political reality, or let's talk, you know, the way Lansing works. And that's all code. It's all jargon to say that special interests have set up a system that makes them stay in power. And that wasn't what this thing was, the whole piece was designed on. And with the Supreme Court recently saying that independent commissions have, are constitutional in states that empower the people to do that, then yeah, I think it's asking folks to tap into this idea that, you know, the game has been rigged before it's been played, and in anything that we're doing that's disguising that is sort of just jumping around the real issue.
So we come down to this point, which is there are folks who think there are gerrymandered districts, that something needs to be done. There are others who say maybe they are, but there isn't a perfect fix. Others who say everything is fine. How do we fix this problem? Or is it an unfixable problem right now in the political environment in which we find ourselves?
And I think, first of all, before you can reach consensus and move forward, you have to take a look at some things that kind of just, you know, reach out and grab me as to why would I want to support a proposal that basically moves us to communities of interest that's frankly an undefined term, and I don't know what that means.
If we're willing to have a conversation about the idea that we should fundamentally not have legislators draw the lines, in doing so then says that we need to negotiate on what the specific criteria that this commission would be charged with doing, or another entity, maybe it's the Legislative Service Bureau, I'm happy to have all those conversations. I think they're important ones to have. But it seems like the type of conversation we're having now is using one criticism of a criteria to try to prevent the conversation on the entire idea. You're never going to be able to hit every single one of the criteria perfectly. That's why ultimately, there's going to be decisions made. Human choices have to be made. The theory that I'm operating under, and a lot of my colleagues and other folks, say that an independent group of folks, someone who's not going to benefit from the choices that are made, should be the one making those choices instead of the politicians choosing which voters that they want in their districts overall.
And we'll leave it there. Representative John Hoadley, Democrat, and Bob LeBrant, formerly with the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. You can read both of their individual essays on redistricting at michiganradio.org. Just click the link that says the next idea. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you, Zoe.
Thanks, Zoe.